welcome to the first week of our series, Storm Chasers, right? They got to bring a meteorologist up here to tell you about storms because I've been through a few storms. We put a tornado on the stage. You remember the first Twister movie? Toto on the other side over there. And then there's wrecked havoc all over the place for the stage. But this is our next series for about the next 8 weeks. And you'll see all kinds of different ways that you're going to be able to get yourself through storms. Storms that are coming, storms you're in, and then what you're going to be able to do afterwards as we get through the entire series itself. So Storm Chasers is the name of it. It's a journey through basically 1 Peter, where we're going to see how God meets us in the storms of life. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always been fascinated by the storms, obviously, right? That was my career. It's what I did. We didn't have storm chasing back in my day, even though I know I did it, right? As a kid, we didn't film it. We didn't do all those kind of things. I remember driving back from Indiana Beach one day, and we're up near La Crosse, because I lived up near La Porte, so we were going north from Indiana Beach, and we stopped, and there's this tornado coming across the field going towards La Crosse, basically. And it got to within about a quarter mile and engulfed the house before we said, hey, maybe we should get out of here, right? But there I was, I think it was 17 at the time, getting ready to go into the Marine Corps, and that was my first encounter with some really severe weather. And I do like chasing them myself, that's for sure. We just didn't have those kind of shows out there, right, that we have now. You can find storm chaser shows anywhere. Nope, we kind of really lived it, is the way I like to say it. But then I feel like I'm sounding like my grandpa. We lived it, we were in that, right? I am a grandpa now, so I guess it kind of fits either way, the way you look at it. There's something about storms that probably grabs your attention. They're powerful, unpredictable, and honestly, at times, a little terrifying, right? And not just the storms that we're talking about weather-wise, but the storms in our lives. Sure, I showed that video to remember some old times, but also to let you know, I know a little bit about storms. So, I've been doing weather for 40 years. I got to do it on TV for 6 years. I was in the Marine Corps doing it, briefing generals and people like that. All the storms, what was going to happen, what was going to encounter for the troops or for the ship or whatever it may be. Then I went down to Antarctica and I got a United States Antarctic program. That was quite the deal going to Antarctica. And it's kind of funny. I'm going to show you something here in a little bit that I used to take around to the schools and show to the kids, right? You maybe some of you have seen it. It's a tornado machine, right? And I used to take it around, and the kids would love it. When I came back from Antarctica the first time, they didn't want to hear about any tornadoes. They just want to hear about penguins, right? Penguins in Antarctica, which are there. And if you're in the wrong place, penguins are pretty dirty. Let's just say that, right? If you're in a penguin colony. So I might be considered, though, a winter weather expert, I would think, right? Blizzards are my big deal. The biggest wild experiences of my career came down there in Antarctica. And yes, the bottom of the world, I ended up going to the South Pole. All these things are great, right? But down there, the wind howls, and it has nothing to stop it, right? There's no trees to slow the wind down in places. We have that. That is an effect here. Any place there's trees, it's going to slow the wind down a little bit. Antarctica, nothing. They call it the driest, windiest, coldest place on Earth for a reason. There's nothing there. There's nothing to stop the winds. There's nothing to stop the storms, and they can be brutal. I can remember in my little weather office, and this was during a winter I did down there, so 4 months of darkness, right? There's only about 150 people there, and I can remember this big storm that came in. And I anchored myself into the weather office for 2 days, because I was the only weather guy that was down there at that point. And the building was shaking, and it was 60 mile an hour to 100 mile an hour per hour winds for almost 2 days straight. Nothing wrong with hurricanes, but hurricanes kind of hit and they move through pretty quick. It's usually 24 hours and they're gone. This thing was 48 hours. And that building was a rocking and it was a rolling. I thought it was going to kind of swallow us all up if you really think about it, right? And that raw power, you can't fight it. You have to respect it, right? Prepare for it and find a way to endure it. Endurance is not what most of us think, though, when it comes to the storms of life. And if we look in James first, I'm going to pop into James before I get into 1 Peter. And in James 1, 2 through 4, it says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Joy, right? Joy for your storms. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, in some references, perseverance is used, they use the word endurance. And that word endurance and that scripture right there telling us that you're going to have trials, you're going to have problems, but you can persevere or endure through it is why we named our missionary program in Belize Endurance Belize, right? Because we were going to try to get through every problem we could get through while we were down there, right? So that's why we kind of, those of you that know about our story about our missionary program, that's what happened down there. That's why we called it what it was. We needed to find a way to endure every storm we encountered and encounter to this day. Today, we got something special for you, though, this tornado machine. Now, I thought we gotta name the thing, right? So I went to the famous ChatGPT, somebody? Okay, good. I went to Grok. So I think I went to Grok because I can remember the name easier. Hey, give me 20 names for a tornado machine, right? Here's what it came up with. Twister Titan, Vortex Viper, Cyclone Catalyst, the Storm Serpent. Ooh, I kind of like that one. Gale Generator, Tornado Tempest. And then it kind of went down the list. There's Cyclone Conjurer. That one, kind of off. Whirlwind Warrior, though, is what I settled in on. This baby's the Whirlwind Warrior, right? And we're going to show you a little bit about that. That tops it for me. Although, Vortex Viper's up there. I kind of like that one, too. So, pretty cool, though, right? So, storms don't just nail you, right? A lot of times there's a buildup. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you can be broadsided by something and never see something coming. But a lot of times, storms build up a little bit. So let's take a look at this here real quick here and see if we can build this up a little storm. If everything goes right here and I don't burn myself on the dry ice. Oh, look at that. All right. So a lot of times we see the bubbling of storms happening, but we don't do anything about it, right? So today we're going to kind of cover a little bit about what do we do when these storms are bubbling up? What do we do when we see them, but we don't know what to do to get through that time frame, right? So what happens is, though, of course, the storm kind of builds and builds and builds. Let's see if we can get this up on here. All right, class, listen to this. That's the way I feel like when I do this, but it's pretty cool. All right, I'm going to start at a low speed and let it build up a little bit, right? Here's the truth we're digging into today. Storms are part of everyday life, whether it's a literal blizzard in Antarctica or the personal hurricanes we navigate ourselves, right? They come for all of us, but God doesn't just let them happen to mess with us. Let's even go a little strong. Oh, it's already starting to kick. Do you see that? All right, a little bit stronger. So the storm builds up, it's hitting you, and we got to try to figure out a way to get through that, but we should have been ready before the storm even started, right? God doesn't just let them happen to us, though, these storms, right? He uses them to test and strengthen our faith, to pull us closer to Him. We don't realize that in the middle of the storm a lot of times, and if we can realize that before the storm and build up our strength into Jesus, we can get through something like this a lot easier, all right? So, you know, back in the TV days, I'd tell people to prep for a storm, board up the windows, stock up on supplies, things like that. During the storm in Antarctica, I saw it coming like 3 days before. I warned everybody. Everybody was prepared, right? Everything was good on that front. But today, I'm a storm chaser for Christ. I want to show you how to prepare your soul for the storms of life so you don't get stuck in this right here, so that we could put a rock in here and that rock wouldn't move through the tornado, right? I want you to be that rock where you found Christ and you're guiding yourself through these storms that way. So let's start with basically the word. Let's get into 1 Peter here. This is 3 through 10. This is going to be 3, 4, and 5 I'm going to cover first, right? These are something about Peter writes this letter to believers who are scattered, facing persecution around, right? Big time real storms. And he begins with hope. He begins with hope. In 3, it says this. Again, 1 Peter 1, this is 3, 4, and 5. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Remember that. Never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. He, right out of the gate, is telling them, literally just a couple of lines into this, Peter says, you've got a living hope, something to build on. Now, why? Because God's mercy and Jesus' resurrection is what he's talking about. This hope just isn't flimsy, and a lot of people want to call it flimsy. It's imperishable, undefiable, unfading. He kind of goes through that when he talks through the scripture and tells you what God is and what you should look like. It's the anchor in the storm. It's that rock, if we could put a rock in there, that would just not be touched at all by the tornado that's spinning through there. Now, look at everything there, right? It's swirling, it's chaotic, but imagine that anchor being in there or that stone, something in there that you can get through these storms through pretty easily. Let's go on to 6, 7, and 8 here, or 6 and 7. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now there's a lot going on in there, in that one. We're talking about refining gold and making it better. We're talking about different aspects of the various trials. Maybe for some of you, that's right? You're in your storms right now. Maybe a job loss, right? Maybe you've gotten some kind of diagnosis, right? What other kind of things can happen? Family struggles. You're fighting depression, something I fight every single day, right? And I think a lot of you do too. These are all storms. But here's the twist. Those trials have a purpose. And you can find countless stories in this room of how you got through some kind of storm because you anchored yourself in Jesus Christ. You just talk to some of the people probably right next to you, right? And they have found a way to get through because they did not lose their sight of Jesus. Right? There you go. Think of this like a storm simulator, right? It's not just chaos. It's revealing what holds up is what Peter's starting to get at. Gold gets refined in fire. Your faith gets refined in your storms, right? And Peter says that faith is more precious than gold because it leads to eternal glory. So why he's talking about, you know, the genuineness of your faith is greater than gold, we don't always think of it that way. Our minds are set up to think of gold as better than anything else. Money. Maybe money is what you're striving for, and you're in a storm trying to make enough money to get by from day to day. These are all storms that we're going to encounter from time to time. So I'm going to go through a couple points here. First point, make your praise bigger than your problems. Make your praise bigger than your problems. Or did I skip over one? I did skip over one. Sorry about that, guys. Let's go to 8 and 9. Got to get the rest of it, right? Though you have not seen him, you love him. Remember, he's talking to these people who are scattered all over who still love Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The salvation of your souls. To get you through every single storm, when we can think about that. And what we're going to slowly see is the storms are going to start to fade over time. You watch. This thing isn't going to last this whole sermon, right? I think you're all going, oh, that's good. Hopefully the sermon isn't that long, right? All right, let's get to some of the points here. We got a lot to cover here. Make your praise bigger than your problems. So, what's your next move, right? How do you prepare? Peter urges us to praise. All praise to God, he says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who through mercy gives us a living hope and an imperishable inheritance in heaven. He said that earlier on, right? Praise shifts our focus from the storm of God, shrinking our problems as we magnify him. Peter promises joy despite trials because God's power protects us. Crank up your worship. Let it drown out the storms. Roar or the hope, right? I want you to have hope during that time frame. Instead of going, man, I've got this storm I'm in so much, and you're just so focused on it, you can't get yourself out of it, start focusing on how God will get you through it, right? And let people know about that. That's what you want to do, right? Look at what's happening. Look at the storm is starting to fall apart, right? We're getting through this. We're thinking about Jesus, and the storm just slowly starts to fade away, right? Storms just aren't random. So here's what I want you to do. All right, this is one thing. I'm going to have several of these things I want you guys to try this week. Pick out one or two and give them a try, all right? It's going to be pretty easy. When this storm hits this week, I want you to pause to praise. Praise that God's there with you, right? Sing a song, pray a psalm, or thank God for his promises. Then watch how your perspective changes. Remember in the last few series, we've been talking about how your minds control everything? We ran a group called Mind Traps. How our mind tells us that we should be upset about this storm because we're not focusing on Jesus. But if we focus on Jesus, we can go, well, it's a storm, but I'm going to be able to get through this thing. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be okay. I remember when my focus changed. I wasn't a young man anymore. I was past the TV days. I was in Antarctica, and it finally dawned on me that I wasn't latching on to God at all, to Jesus at all. And once I did that, I started to see that the storms that I had been through and all the things I had done built me to be stronger in my walk with Christ. And I want that for you too. But you got to start early, all right? So try that this week. Try to hit pause, maybe pray a little bit, think about Jesus on that. Thank him for all the promises that he does have for you, and watch how your mindset changes this week. Recognize the purpose of the storms is point number two. Storms aren't random. They're God's tool to refine us. And he says that in verse 7, right? He says, trials test the genuineness of our faith. And then it kind of sees how everything pulls everything around us when we get into those storms, that Jesus will be there for us. That's like life storms. They shake us up. But God's saying, I'm testing what's real in you. So when the storm hits, don't just ask why me, ask what's God strengthening in me. They're just not chaos. They are in a way, right? I look at the storm, we look at that. In a way, it's beautiful, right? But in another way, it's chaos at the same time, right? So here's the application I want you to try from this, from recognizing the purpose of your storms. First, this week, sometime, reflect on a past storm. How did God grow in you during that storm? Some of you are going to say nothing. Nothing happened, right? But some of you are going to say, man, I was anchored in Jesus and I got through this storm because of that, right? So that's where I want you to go. Maybe write it down and then ask, what's God doing through this? Shift from why me to what's next? How do I get through it? Man, that focus as a Marine, when I was a Marine, where it was, where's the next battle? Where's the next thing? What do I got to get done next? Had just disappeared for years after I got out of the Marine Corps until I got back to what's next in every battle and every problem and how do I fix it, right? Because I was focused more on Jesus. I was focused more on Christ, and I want that for you. So reflect on the past storm this week. Now, do something because others are watching. Do something because others are watching. Well, I'm up here explaining to you about storms and some of the things I've been through. Many of you have your own stories, right? And there are people that are watching you go through this. People who don't believe. But when they see you go through something and you do not lose your fight to be alongside Jesus, it's noticed. It is noticed. So remember that. While you are building up everything before the storms, remember once you're in that storm that there are people watching. When the whirlwind warrior spins, and it's over now, you're on display. Peter notes that angels, and even in parts of Hebrews, it describes a huge crowd of witnesses watching your storm response. Watching your storm response. Your faith isn't private. It's a testimony. It's a testimony. Remember I said there's a story from everybody in here? It's their testimony. Do they see panic or do they see endurance? Pray boldly this week. Serve generously. Trust visibly. And your storm is just a stage for God's glory. All right? Think about that when you're going through a storm this week. But you got to prepare spiritually. And how do we stand firm to do that? How do we prepare spiritually? Through faith and prayer, through scripture and community. Right here. You have friends right here who are basically your family sitting next to you, even if you don't know them, a lot of them will come alongside you and pray with you and be with you as you go through the struggles that you're going through, the storms that you're hitting. All right? Back to 1 Peter real quick, verse 5, which says, God guards us through faith. And then if there was a rock in that tornado machine. It didn't move, right? The rock wouldn't have moved. That's you when you're rooted in prayer, God's word, and in his people. Right? In God, his word, prayer, and his people. Now, when I was down in Antarctica, I told you about how the big storm came, and I told people about it, and then everybody got prepared. So you won't even think about this here in Indiana, even though we have some pretty good blizzards here in Indiana too, right? We do. They tied ropes from every building to every building so you could get from one building to the other during the storm if we needed to move around. Now, the good news is most people just hunkered down and waited out the 2 days before it was done and they moved around. But if you needed to get to the chow hall and you needed something to eat, that rope was there for you, right? That rope was there for you. So they were preparing. I can remember during a tornado breakout on TV, I said, folks, don't wait till the wind starts. Get ready now, right? So the same goes for our faith. You don't build a shelter in the middle of that tornado, in the middle of that blizzard, right? In the middle of that storm. You build the shelter before. That's where we go back to all the different portions of this, where I want you to start building your faith through prayer, through scripture, and through the people around you, your community, all right? So I've seen storms tear apart houses that weren't ready for that, right? But I've also seen faith hold firm when it's built strong. Build those habits today because the storms are coming, but so is God's strength, all right? So is God's strength. Here's an application for you. Try this one. Take one action this week. Share your story or serve someone. Let others see Jesus in you. It only takes one. It only takes one. You probably have someone in mind right now you could probably talk to. And maybe you just tell your story about how you're starting to walk through these doors here. You're starting to find your walk and your path with Jesus and how it's starting to narrow as you're starting to see the focus of everything. All right? Take that one action this week. That's something you can do. All right. Point number 4, keep your focus on Jesus. So hard during the storms. We get so caught up in what's actually happening at the time, right? What's going on? Oh my gosh, if you think about storms, the building's getting knocked down over there. What are we going to do? Well, you know, Jesus has got us through this. You've heard this so many times, right, from people? Jesus has got me. I'm going to be good through that. That's a hard thing to do. That is a hard thing to do to prepare yourself and get yourself ready for that storm and anchoring yourself in Jesus. 1 Peter verse 6 says this again, trials for a little while. For a little while, it says, the trials. Any of you think the trials are a little while? They sure don't seem like it, do they? You get one, and then you maybe come up a little bit, and then boom, here comes another one, right? But you notice it also says trials. It doesn't say a trial. It doesn't say everything's going to be perfect during the trials. It says there's going to be more than one. Yes, they're temporary, but God's promises are eternal. That storming in our machine, it started, it spun up, right? It's kind of stopped. I can barely see just a little bit of haze moving through there, right? But it did stop. Your trials are going to stop too at some time or another. But then another one will start up after that. Something different. Something else will happen. Your trials have an expiration date also, but God's inheritance of you doesn't. So no matter the trial that you're going through, God is going to be there through you and with you during that experience. It's hard to think about that and all the different things that have come through all of our lives and all of our different stories, but it does happen every single day. Stories like that, remember I told you it took me a while to figure out that I needed Jesus in my life and that I needed more to it. And I had gone through a big major injury in the Marine Corps, and I was disabled, and I had to come out. And I never saw all the blessings that were around me during that time frame. During that time frame, it took me 7 years to get through all of the depression of, oh, I was a failure in the Marine Corps. I didn't finish. It didn't matter that I got hurt. It was just that I was a failure at that, right? That hit me hard. When you're 32 years old and you're thrust into a situation you weren't expecting, it hits you hard. You know why? I wasn't prepared at all. Jesus was just an outside thought to me at that point. I knew I believed Jesus, but I wasn't, I didn't go to church. I didn't read anything. I didn't try anything along those lines. And I went along for 7 years mad at the world. Mad at the world for something that happened to me, despite realizing later, and now as an older man, right, I had a job as soon as I got out of the Marine Corps. I came here to Lafayette, in 2 weeks I was on TV. How does that happen to somebody? How did God walk me into the place just to talk to the guy who was the weather guy there to see if I could get some experience? Him tell me I could intern with him, and 4 days later, then primetime meteorologist puts her notice in and leaves. And they say, let's get you on TV and see what happens. That wasn't me. That was not luck. That was God who put me in that spot. But I didn't see it. I said, oh man, I'm lucky. That's pretty good. I did not see Jesus in that situation at all. But now I see it. He guided me straight to some place that was going to anchor me and get me settled in and something that would work so I could take care of my family, so I could take care of all the things that were my worries at the time, right? So let me take you back to Antarctica for a second. One day I forecast a storm. I've talked about this storm before, right? After those 2 days, there was something that was really, really good afterwards. So, and this is what I want you to think about. You're building yourself up before the storm, right? You're anchoring yourself in prayer. You're anchoring yourself in Jesus and in the word that comes and the people around you, right, to help you. Then the storm hits. Then everything happens afterwards. And there's this eerie, deadly, quiet sound. You think to yourself, well, he said it's kind of eerie and it was kind of spooky. In a way it was, but it was also just joyful. It was that time afterwards where it was dead calm and it was dead quiet, where I could rejoice in what I had gotten through at that point, right? And in my real life, it took me 7 years to get past a certain point. But in that storm, it happened right afterwards, just this dead silence. It was beautiful at the same time. The skies eventually cleared and the silence was unreal. I learned no matter how fierce the storm, it's going to end. On TV, I tell viewers to, front's going to come through tomorrow in faith, right? So, and you would go, okay, Brian's saying the front's going to come through tomorrow. It's going to rain. We're going to worry about that. But God says you need to hold on to my forever promises. This is God speaking, right? God's telling us this trial's moving out to God says you need to hold on to my forever promises, God's promises. So lift your eyes above the storm. See the hope that's waiting. In the storm center stands Jesus, right? Unshaken. He is unshaken in the middle of the storm, and he will get you through it. Peter says we love and trust him, unseen, with salvation as our reward. And we forget all that when we're in the storms, and we need to focus on that more to get us through those storms. Peter says we love and trust him, unseen, with salvation as our reward. And Hebrews also urges us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who endured for joy. But in Matthew, Peter walks on water towards Jesus. He walks on water towards Jesus until when? He stopped looking at Jesus, didn't he? And then he almost drowned. Well, Jesus was there to save him, of course, but he was walking on water looking at Jesus, and when he stopped his focus on Jesus, he went down. Something to remember. Focus on Christ and the storms lose their power. All right. I've got three more applications here that I want to pop out here before we get to the end of this. Right now, I want you to think about this. What storm are you facing or might you face soon? Maybe it's a worry keeping you up at night or something you've been avoiding. Here's your action steps this week. And I want you to start a daily practice to build your faith. So I've asked you to do a few things here. Pick out one. I want you to do some of these too. First one, take 5 minutes each day. Pray and read a verse from 1 Peter. Right? Just one verse. That's all you got to read. Read what we were just talking about. Then write down one way God's been faithful for you. That's the second thing I want you to do. And then the third thing, share it with someone in your small group or a friend. That's how you prepare. Day by day, do these simple things, and your faith gets stronger and stronger and stronger. You don't have to fight these battles by yourself. And many of us do. I'm guilty of it myself. I've done it many times. God's there with us, though, during these battles, whether we realize it at the time or not. And if we can build up our love and belief and strength in Jesus Christ before the storms, we can get through them much, much easier. See, storms are loud. They're a wild ride, but they are not the end at all. If you persevere or endure through the storm, God promises to restore what's been lost. He's with you in it, and he's got something better on the other side for you. My better came after many years of toiling through troubles and storms, despite the fact life was pretty good and I had so many blessings. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to go through 7 years or 10 years or 20 years of your life worried about all these storms and not focusing on Jesus in the first place. We start with our focus on Jesus. We get into the Word every day, and you've heard that many times here in this church. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. You'll be amazed. What I asked you to do, what do you think, Faith? 5 minutes is all that's going to take? Read a little scripture, write a little something down? All right, guys, it's a tough one for you. Ladies, you journal pretty well, so I think you might be able to do that one pretty well. Guys, we don't like to do that. At least read it and think about it, and then go talk to somebody about it. Right? Right? Come in through the doors. Come talk to one of us here if you got some problems and there's some storms. And we'll build you up and start to strengthen you in your walk with Jesus. Right? So there's a lot there. It doesn't seem like it. We saw the storm. It brewed up, it disappeared, and it was gone. But were you ready when it was all broiling around here on the outside, ready to go, anchored in Jesus? So I want you to think about another thing here. Let's commit to thriving, not just surviving. When Jesus is on your side, you've anchored yourself in him, and you're believing in him to get you through every storm, when you come out the other side, you are now thriving, right? Not just surviving. Most of us are just surviving our storms when we get through them, and we're waiting for the next one. Instead of looking at the next one and going, man, I can do this. God's got me. I'll get through this. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but I will find a way to get through it, right? Because Jesus is with me. And sure enough, by the time it's done and over with, you look back at it and go, wow, that wasn't so bad. Things were better, as I did as about a 45-year-old man who said, hey, what's going on? Why am I still doing this? Maybe I was 40. Maybe I was a little younger than that. It still took a little while, right? So let's commit to thriving, not just surviving. As we close up here, remember this. God doesn't waste a storm. He uses them to test us, strengthen us, and draw us closer to him. Peter's readers faced persecution. We face our own trials, right? Our own storms. But the same God who guarded them guards us. So stay alert, stand firm, and trust him. Take this to heart as you leave today. Every tempest is purposeful in its hands, in its useful hands. He refines us through the winds of adversity, fortifies our faith in the rain of hardship, and pulls us nearer to his side. The believers of old endured their fiery ordeals, didn't they? They did. And we navigate our own struggles. They're different, but they're exactly the same. And you can find a way to get through it somewhere in the Bible. Yet the unchanging God who shielded them remains our protector. Yes, he does. Therefore, keep watch, hold fast, and rely on him completely when you're going through these storms. But get yourself built up before you get to it. And each stage of this during the storm series, we're going to find a way to get through that storm. Start with the prayer. Start with anchoring yourself in the Word. Find someone around you in your community that can help you to get you through that, right? And your faith will strengthen. You'll get through the storms easier. Then we're going to start building even more on that. So that's where we started with today.